Hey, Craig's back. Yay.
Fuck yeah, Craig. Craig's been, can we talk about really quick how reliable Craig's been for like the last month,
He's been
two
like a
months?
very reliable friend. He hasn't fucked up at all in the last few months or couple months.
Yeah, he's Craig's at the point now where like, I love you, Ryan. You know that. And I know you love me, but I think both of us, if we had one phone call from jail, we'd call Craig.
I think so, yeah.
He's Craig. And
Right.
so I'm Tony, you're Ryan. Craig is here. It's 67 time.
Hell yeah, episode 67.
I know the numbers keep getting higher and higher. We've been on the Football Absurdity feed for like almost a year now.
Yeah. And once again, since we're at episode 67, we're only talking about defensive and offensive linemen. So.
And I'm talking about a defensive lineman today, but I'm not using his jersey number for my 67.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Interesting.
pretty excited. Do you want to go first? Should I go first? Mine's pretty short.
I mean, I got a couple short ones too, because like I said, we're on offensive and defensive linemen. There was only one guy I think I found this week that was in the Hall of Fame for 67. I didn't choose him at all. I got like one honorable mention and one main guy.
Well, let's do a 67 sandwich. Let's do your honorable
All
mention.
right.
I'll do mine, and then
Yeah.
you'll lead us out.
Yeah, so this honorable mention, Robert Sims, all right,
Okay.
former Detroit lineman.
Okay.
The only thing, only reason I wanted to say something about him is because his business partner is also his former teammate, Calvin Johnson.
Oh yeah, blaze it, right?
Hell yeah. They have several cannabis facilities across the state of Michigan. Their brand is called Primitive, I believe.
That's pretty sick.
And they also partnered in their business with Harvard University and support their cannabis research.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that
I
was a
like that.
little interesting fact about a guy that played number 67.
That is pretty cool. I think because we definitely talked a lot about we talked a lot about Calvin Johnson and his, you know, representation of his relationship
Sure.
with cannabis, and it's cool to know that there's and it wasn't just him, right? It's
Yeah,
multiple
well,
guys.
I'm sure Calvin Johnson probably has a way bigger majority share than this guy does,
Sure.
but they're definitely business partners and they're part of the brand. Like it's called Primitive without the E at the end.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and it I was trying to find a menu because I wanted to know if it's the type of place that has like stupid ass names for their weed.
Oh, you think like maybe we could get it out here?
Well, no, but like I just want to know what kind of like flower they're I want to know the names. So I've got some. So we've got
Sure.
you know, your classics, your Lemon Haze, Red Pop Peyton.
Red Pop Peyton.
Guess how much an eighth of Red Pop Peyton is?
Oh God, is it crazy? Like 80, 90 bucks?
35.
What? Oh, because it's probably Michigan prices.
Yep. And that's clearly top shelf because I'm looking at eighths for 25 bucks. An eighth of Black Orchid Smalls give you 30 bucks. So it looks like
Well,
Primitive is not a grow place. Primitive is an actual store.
oh, really?
Yeah. So they have, there's some like, man, I see multiple like,
Oh,
dude,
so it's
listen to this.
like, oh, so it's like rise, and then they
Right.
pull. Okay.
Cultivators, right? He's not a, they're not a cultivator, they're a store.
I see.
Listen to this. I want to buy an eighth of this. If you're from Michigan and you listen to TH Fantasy Podcast, buy an eighth of this and then FedEx it to us. And it doesn't matter because weed isn't real and drug laws aren't real. The company's name is Dead Flowers with a Z.
Okay.
And the strain is Super Boof.
Super boof, hell yeah.
So I wonder if you get extra high if you stick it up your ass. Super Boof.
I'm sure they have suppositories.
Dude, that's we'll save that for the Patreon episodes. We don't need to go into that here.
Yeah. Long story short, Tony did one time.
Oh, it was awesome. It was like an edible for your butt. It's so awesome because you think about the fact that our parents listen to this.
I don't think I've ever seen Tony's eyes redder than when he did that.
I'm like, not gonna lie to you, dude. I've looked for it. And
like
and
cherry red, like your eyes are just
red. I wanna go on record and I wanna say I bought those originally because I was living with someone who will go unnamed because I respect their HIPAA privacy.
Right.
But that person has like terrible ulcerative colitis.
Yeah, yeah. And you thought it might help. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I'll take them someday. And finally, after them sitting there for like 6 months, I'm like, hey, dude, can I stick one of those up my ass? Like, if they're just going to sit there, like, I might as well take one. And he's like, yeah. And I got rocked. I mean, rocked. It was awesome. So that's a great 67 to start with, Ryan.
Very good. I thought that was going to be a short one, but no.
No, we really let it breathe a little bit.
So what you got, Tony?
All right. So we're Bears fans, right?
And oh, yeah.
I think that means that we tend to look at guys that played with or have some connection to our favorite teams. I think that's just any sports fan, right?
Sure.
And I try to avoid it whenever I can, but today is the perfect chance for me to relive not one of my favorite players, but one of my all-time favorite plays. Now, in order to talk about it, we got to start with 9/11. All right?
Oh, great. Here we go.
The NFL in its history has either canceled or postponed regular season games only a handful of times. We remember what happened 3 weeks ago,
right?
And in previous cases, it's been truly extraordinary. Now, it happened twice.
Well, there was a handful of games near COVID the last few years, but
all of those games were played within the week that they were supposed to be played.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
Right. So, they had labor lockouts in 82 and 87.
Right.
And there were a bunch of games missed then, and week 2 of the 2001 NFL season. So 9/11 happened, and then they postponed all the games that week, and they put all of the NFL's week 2 games at the end of the year. They all played an extra week, right?
Okay.
So if you'll recall, actually, in one of our previous episodes, we talked about the NFL getting advice from government officials to continue to play their games the week after JFK was assassinated.
Oh, that's right.
Because the AFL canceled their games. But remember, the NFL played, and remember we did a story on a guy who got into a fight with his teammate because the teammate was talking shit about Kennedy, and like he almost beat the dude to death? Yeah, fun stuff. So the league's done effective rescheduling around natural disasters like hurricanes, or remember the time the roof of the Metrodome in Minneapolis collapsed under the weight of snow?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And they ended up playing the game in like TCF Bank Stadium.
That was the new stadium, yeah.
Well, that was like that was where the Golden Gophers play. Oh, so it wasn't the TCF. TCF is where they're I don't know. I'm not going to Minnesota anytime
soon. TCF is defunct now, by the way.
It's now the Huntington National Bank.
That's right.
Dome. So it's rare to see the league cancel a game for whatever reason, but obviously 9/11. So as I said earlier, the league added an 18th week to the season, put all the week 2 games there. One of the games rescheduled was a Bears home game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which was replayed in January. All right.
Okay.
The Jaguars would have been a tough game for the Bears to win because you got Mark Brunell, you got all those Jags players that in 2001 were still a potent threat.
Yeah.
So in that game, though, that was the year the Bears surprised everyone and made the playoffs in 2001, and it was behind the strength of their great defense. So
was that when we had Moose and Muhammad on the team?
No, Moose came later.
That was 2006.
Yeah, because Moose played in the for the Panthers in the 2004 Super Bowl against the Patriots. Oh,
yeah, that's right.
So, let me set the scene, Ryan. It'll come back to you very quickly. Bears are up 13-0 early in the third quarter. Jaguars' Mark Brunell drops back to pass, and the rest is history. Mark Brunell calls a screen pass to the right and tries to loft the ball over the oncoming rushers, but Bears defensive tackle Keith Traylor,
all 340 pounds of him,
tips the ball with a giant paw back to himself, secures it, and he's off to the races.
That's right.
Now,
oh my God,
we love a big man touchdown on this podcast. He did not score on this one, but I think it's one of the greatest big men plays of all time.
Yeah, it's memorable for sure, yeah.
To me, the all-time greatest non-touchdown-related big men plays, there's only three. Keith Traylor's interception return. Dan Connolly for the Patriots, his kickoff return against the Packers. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was fucking sick. And then the Dolphins play last year that didn't count. Still one of the greatest moments of all time. So Traylor breaks two quick arm tackles, and it's just him in daylight, right? And Bears players had to block guys multiple times on that play because he was moving so slow. And one of the best moments for me is the look on his face. So he's after 20 yards, like to research this, Ryan, I think I watched this clip like 50 times.
Oh, I would imagine.
So after 20 yards, he like gears down, right? He like downshifts. And so watching his eyes, once the end zone camera could get him into focus, is iconic. Like, first off, his eyes are giant golf balls.
Right.
And he's clearly looking for someone to lateral the ball to.
Sure.
But he said in interviews afterwards that he couldn't see anybody, which is hilarious because there's a number of guys standing around him ready for the ball to go to them. Like,
he was just that winded.
And that big that if he turned, he was going to turn his whole body and he probably would have fallen over.
Yeah, that's true.
So he eventually gets dragged down from behind by a number of Jaguars, and he ended up like 5 yards away from the end zone. And David Terrell would catch a touchdown pass. Bears would go up 20-0, and they'd end up going to the playoffs. So listen to this, all right? And I'm going to end on a real boner clip real quick because fuck Dick Geron. Dick Geron was the Bears coach, and he gave an interview after the game and was like, when he caught it, I started screaming for him to get down because Traylor had tweaked a hamstring earlier in the pregame warmups, and Geron was like, oh my God, if he's going to keep running, it might make the injury worse, which I'm not going to lie to you, Ryan, that's a smart coach move,
right.
But when there's a fat guy running with the football, you shut the fuck up and you watch.
Yeah.
So that's my number 67. Keith Traylor's 67-yard interception return. The clearly top three greatest big man moments in football history.
I love it. That's great, Tony. All right. Now, let's move on to someone who actually did something during a football game that made the NFL Rules Committee have a rule named after this guy.
Okay. Cool.
We're talking about Mr. Kimo Van Olhoffen.
Okay. Right. I'm going to call him KVO.
Okay. Defensive tackle for the Bengals, the Steelers. Was born in Hawaii.
Okay. Classic.
KVO. Not a classic name for someone that was born in Hawaii. I don't know the origins of his name or anything.
Yeah, it's pretty German.
Yeah, right? But He's definitely Hawaiian.
Okay.
He went to a high school in Hawaii where it was on the island of Oahu. They didn't have a football team. Later on, he transferred to another high school on the island of Honolulu where they did have a football team, and he played like his senior year.
Okay.
But he was so big, 6'4", 300 pounds, that he got a walk-on to the University of Hawaii.
No shit.
So he started playing there in college. And I think maybe some coaches realized that maybe he'd be better off in a, you know, somewhere where he's going to get recognized for his skills other than the University of Hawaii.
Hang on. Before we go any further, did you say he was 6'4", 300 pounds in high school?
I don't know if he was that in high school, but that's okay. what he's listed as his professional career.
Oh my God.
So he ended up transferring to Walla Walla Community College, which is somewhere in Washington State. But he didn't last there very long. Boise State saw him play, and they were like, why don't you come play for us? So he played college the rest of his years at Boise State.
Do you have the years, when he played college ball? Do you know what years they were off the top of your head?
College ball was in the early 90s.
Because
he was drafted. He was drafted in 94.
Because Hawaii is like, you're not going to get noticed here, kid. You better go to Walla Walla Community College. How bad was Hawaii's football program?
I don't know how that transpired, but.
That's fascinating.
He ended up there, and because, Walla Walla is kind of close to Spokane, which is kind of close to Boise. So some of their scouts picked up on him and brought him to Boise State.
Sure.
So like I said, he was drafted in 94 by the Cincinnati Bengals, where he was pretty much like a backup. He wasn't starting material or good enough to... and who knows, Cincinnati at that time could have had a bunch of guys that were just way better than him. But his second season, he started every game, became a mainstay of their defensive line, and finished second in tackles among defensive linemen in 1997.
Okay.
He was then traded to Pittsburgh on a big contract, and in 2005 won the Super Bowl as a Steeler.
Sure. I love trades within divisions because it's chaos. I love that shit.
So get this. In the 2005 wild card playoff game, all right?
I'm ready.
This is where the rule comes from. Against the Bengals, his former team.
Ooh. I think I know what you're about to say.
He was involved in a very controversial hit on Carson Palmer.
Yup.
That occurred on the Bengals' second play from scrimmage and knocked Palmer out for the rest of the game with a severe, severe knee injury.
Yeah.
The knee injury was so severe, tore his ACL, his MCL, and his PCL.
Jesus.
And was one of the worst knee hits in professional NFL history.
I remember that.
So coming off a block that was set by teammate Eric Steinbeck, he rolled into Palmer's left knee, and Palmer released the pass 66 yards downfield to wide receiver Chris Henry, who was also injured on the play.
Jeez. Also, rest in peace to Chris Henry.
Right. Like I said, that hit tore Palmer's ACL, PCL, and MCL. Cincinnati Foos fans booed Olhoffen after watching the replays, thinking that a flag should be thrown.
Right.
And it obviously wasn't. He later apologized publicly for the hit, but it says that he never really personally apologized to Carson Palmer. So because of that, during the offseason after the playoffs, the NFL Rules Committee modified the rule regarding low hits on quarterbacks. This rule is now called the chemo clause.
Ooh.
Now requires that defenders take every opportunity to avoid hitting a quarterback at or below the knees when the quarterback is in a defenseless position, looking to throw with both feet on the ground.
That's crazy because, so I remember that game. I remember that game because those Bengals were going to the fucking Super Bowl.
Right.
That team was the real deal.
Yeah.
And even if they had won that game, Carson, he missed time into the next season, too. It was a huge injury.
Yeah, it was massive. That's a year and a half, probably.
And
at least.
And that was right around the time that Brady got hurt. Remember, Brady missed a whole season with a knee injury on a very similar play. It was week one. Someone hit him below the knees and he tore his ACL or something like that. I always operated under the assumption that it was the Brady rule. But it's the chemo von Olhoffen, the chemo clause. It's
the chemo clause, yeah.
That's nuts.
It's an extension of the rule. Yeah, so that's the chemo clause. And the Steelers ended up winning the Super Bowl that year, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he kind of fizzled out. He played with the Jets for a season, then went to the Eagles, and like he was released in training camp. But I just thought it was really cool that he's got a rule named after him.
And yeah, unfortunately. Right. Unfortunately, it's because he fucked someone up. Under
dire circumstances, but yeah.
And but also, think about, like, fuck the new, fuck Tim Allen, man. He should be the new Santa Claus. Should be the chemo clause.
Like the chemo clause.
The Hell movie, yeah. dude. That'd be yeah. fucking sick. Like, dude, he turned into Santa.
You'd have chemo clause 2, chemo clause 3.
He turns into Santa, and he has to deliver gifts to Carson Palmer's family with a sincere apology as well.
No, no, he travels the world and breaks children's knees in the night as he goes as he goes down the chimney.
Oh, that's perfect. All right, so those are our 67s. They ran a little long, but it was good. This is good content.
That's right.
So let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to build. I think we're going to declare this our final Superflex lineup of the year. And then we'll play one last little discussion piece, and then we'll get out. So we're going to take a break right now. Goodbye. Hello, fantasy football players. My name's Tony Martin. You might know me as the co-host of the insanely successful TH Fantasy podcast. Before I was a star, though, I was just a single, lonely man looking for love. And it's not like I was ugly. I was voted the most attractive manager in my home league 4 years straight. Despite all the awards, I was still having trouble finding the one. That's when a friend told me about Dynasty to Devi Dating, a free dating app that's designed to assist fantasy football nerds to find love all across the country. Just create an account, upload pictures of you and your lineups, and you're ready to connect with others that share your interests, like drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth. Commiserate with the cute barista about drafting Kyle Pitts. Talk Trey Lance over dinner with a business executive, or send a DM about DJM to a fitness instructor. People from all walks of life are on the app, so hurry up. Make your account today with the dating site that football outsiders once called the Ramondre Stevenson of dating apps. Dynasty to Devi Dating is so successful, they're giving you a month startup guarantee. If you go on a date and you and your new love don't begin your first shared Dynasty startup within the first month, we'll give you a free year of premium. I'm actually here for free this week. I'm doing this commercial without my usual guaranteed rate because I truly owe so much of my own happiness to this very site. I was at my lowest when I joined the app, and then within weeks I found the person I know I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. By our second date, we were writing AJ Brown fanfiction, and I just knew she was the one. If it's time for you to make a connection, listen, the time to start is now. Coming in 2023, Dynasty to Devi Dating will link to all major fantasy platforms so you could put waiver claims in on free agents and sexy singles in your area at the same time. You've got the number one waiver priority this week. What will you do? Dynasty to Devi Dating. Find your 101 and birth the QB1 of the future.
And we're back.
You did the countdown, but you also said 2-1. You're not supposed to say 2-1. Remember, that's show business.
Damn it.
You got to do the. This is an audio medium, so you can't. I'm doing a bad job right now. We did some self-reflection during the commercial, and we realized if we willed it hard enough, there would be a Superflex lineup. And there is. We did it through sheer force of will, baby.
There's totally a Superflex.
So we're going to do our last Superflex for the year. We've got four games to choose from.
I'm assuming it's going to be the last. There's no way they're going to have a super back flex next week with only four quarterbacks. But
right. That would be insanity. All right. So we will hop in the decision bot and we will talk to you in a moment. See ya.
Hold on to your butts.
Hey, we're back. We're back. And we're getting fucking nuts with this one, Ryan.
We have like a super spicy lineup here.
It's, and Ryan, you bring up a good point. Like, this is going to be a fairly contrarian lineup. We have a couple of dime store plays, super cheap, but we have a lot of smash payup options. And I figure if one of our two pay downs hit, we're in the money.
Right.
So tell us about it.
So we're going heavy on Kansas City game. We're going Mahomes, we're going McKinnon, and we're going Kelce, who I think probably, if there's four touchdowns in this game, they're going to be all split up between those three players.
Absolutely.
But we also paid up and went with Josh Allen. We didn't pair anyone with him. We paid down at some other positions, but that also let us put in Christian McCaffrey. We've got T.Y. Hilton, who has looked better than Gallup the last few weeks.
He's their deep option.
Right. We've got Tyler Boyd, who I really like for a touchdown this week. And we've got Boston Scott. Now, you might be saying, why the fuck are you playing Boston Scott in your lineup? Well, here's why. As I told Tony earlier, Boston Scott has 16 career touchdowns, right?
Yes.
Guess how many of them are against the Giants? 10. That's like 70% of his touchdowns come against the Giants. So I'm calling a Boston Scott touchdown. Even if he only gets 10 yards and gets a touchdown, that's like 8 or 9 points. And well enough points to cover for someone that only costs $4,800.
Shit, yeah, it does. I think you only need like 7 points to break even on something like that if you're looking at salary versus production, for sure. Right.
And if these games work out how we think they're going to work, Kansas City going crazy, Buffalo going crazy, Cincinnati going crazy, I think this lineup is super unique.
Okay. That's our last Superflex of the year, most likely. And it's a good bit, and we'll get better next year, and we'll make more money, and you can play along with us, and we'll all get rich and fucking spend our money on cool shit. So let's do our last segment. This upcoming season, Ryan, is pretty stacked free agent class at quarterback and running back.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It seems like we have just as many vacancies or QBs looking to leave as I think we have more like quarterbacks looking for new places than we have open slots.
True.
So let's not worry about who's where, right? I mean, obviously we're not going to send someone to Kansas City, but like I've got a list of some of the quarterbacks that either want out or could be, you know, signed by a new team. So I want you to tell me the best fits.
Sure.
All right. So we're going to start with former MVP Lamar Jackson.
Well, I'm pretty sure Baltimore's media came out the other day and said we're pretty much sticking with Lamar.
Yeah, ownership was super like, we're going to do what it takes.
Yeah, yeah. I think he stays a Raven.
I think he does too. I mean,
number one, he doesn't have an agent, so...
Right.
I think he wants to stay a Raven. I think the Ravens will settle because he doesn't have anyone negotiating for him. So,
the thing is about Baltimore is that they would have to change their entire offensive philosophy if they brought in another quarterback.
Right. Right.
Like they're not going to need a fucking fullback and 8,000 tight ends if they get a different quarterback.
You're not getting rid of Harbaugh. So basically, we're still going to run the entire game, 80% of plays.
Harbaugh will never leave Baltimore as long as he can call plays that are from the exact same playbook as his brother, because sometimes I watch the Ravens and I'm like, this is fucking Michigan football right now.
Right.
And that is not a compliment. All right, let's move on to another former MVP, Ryan. Where's Tom Brady playing next year?
You know what? I think he's going to want to stay south. I don't think he's going to San Francisco.
Okay.
They're going to figure something out over there, especially now that Purdy's doing so well. We'll see how he does against the Dallas defense because, like, Purdy's gotten pretty lucky. He's had some good games, but he played what? He played Seattle, like, twice. The worst defense.
No, he's twice. Yeah.
He played Arizona. Right? He played Arizona. Yeah. Like, So let's see how he does against a good defense. But I think they found something in Purdy.
I agree.
So I don't think he's going to Frisco, which Tom Brady ultimately would want to go. He's from the Bay Area. I think it would be interesting if he went to like Atlanta just for a year to like, and they bring him in just to like give Ritter like, you know, a mentorship or whatever. You know, like, I think that would be pretty fun. Where do you think he goes?
I saw something today actually was tweeted out that Carolina is going to try to get Sean Payton. And if they get Sean Payton, they're going to make a push for Tom Brady.
Really?
Yep.
I figured if a team picked up Payton, whichever team ends up getting him, he's obviously coming back to coach. I mean, they're going to want him with someone to develop. So I don't feel like that's a fit, but I guess I could see it just to like maybe to get him to win something the first year he's back coaching. I don't know.
Who knows? Let's go to a player who is under contract and would therefore need to be traded or cut, but is not currently a free agent. Ryan, your boy, Derek Carr.
I'm scared for Derek Carr.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's going anywhere. You know,
really?
You know what? I think, you know what? He'd be a good fit, I think, for Indy. You know,
I think so too. I really do. But I think Indy wants a rookie. Indy's going to trade up and take Bryce Young.
What pick does Indy have?
Pick 4.
They're going to trade up to 2?
To 1. A lot of people are predicting a Bears-Colts trade that gives the Colts first round pick next year, their pick 4, and their second round pick to move up from 4 to 1.
Okay.
But I also felt the same way. I like, in terms of personnel, you've got a strong play action run game and you've got deep threat receivers. That's Derek Carr's forte all day, baby.
That's true.
Let's go to the breakout star of 2022, Geno Smith.
All right. It would be wise for Seattle to think about their future and draft a quarterback this year. Don't they have a secondary first round pick from someone?
Yeah, they have Denver's pick.
So they could potentially start thinking about, but I also could see them signing Geno for another year. He did so well. I mean,
right.
Out of nowhere, this guy's just slinging the football. Like, and we all thought Seattle was going to be the worst freaking team this year.
Ryan, what would you think if I told you that my preferred destination for Geno Smith is the Las Vegas Raiders?
How much do you think Davante Adams is going to be involved in that decision?
I mean, if I'm Devontae, I'm like, yo, I trust this. Look at how he balled the fuck out. Metcalf and Lockett had great seasons.
That's true.
So that one's just a fun thought. And then we got a couple more here. Daniel Jones.
I think the Giants are going to give him money. He's another guy that just was like, this is the year he needs to show that he's the franchise quarterback, and he's clearly done that this year. I think he's going to stay a New York Giant. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay. And then I have a couple more. Baker Mayfield.
Who knows, man? He had his chance. He had his chance in Carolina when he went there and just fizzled. I mean, granted, they don't have too much to write home about in terms of offense after they let go of McCaffrey. So
I got a place for him.
Okay.
Ready for it? The New Orleans Saints.
That's right. It is. So they're just going to cut Jameis and.
Well, I don't think Jameis or Dalton have contracts.
No. Well, he's got to retire. Like, right. I would think he's going to retire.
Right. And Jameis is a backup, man. Jameis is a fucking backup. He just
is. Especially this year. Like, can you imagine, like, how good? I was listening to something earlier. They were saying Chris Olave was on the field for, like, 580 snaps, and he had 119 targets.
Jesus
with Dalton. Christ. With Dalton.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine how good, like, he would have done with a better quarterback? I think I could like that.
I think the Saints are a sneaky play for Derek Carr as well.
Yeah, that's potential too. Yeah.
Can you imagine Chris Olave with Derek Carr and Rashid Shaheed as the deep ball threat?
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, my goodness. All right, so we got a couple running backs to review, and then we'll move on for the evening. All right, let's start with the big fish in the pond, Ryan. Saquon Barkley.
I heard a lot of rumors within the last week. Maybe the Bears are interested in him. How cool would it be if... And then this would only happen if the Bears got rid of Montgomery.
Well, Montgomery's a free agent too.
Right, right. Well, are the Bears talking about not signing him? Is like he legit going to be gone?
I don't know, but I know that he took a bunch of like photos after the last home game at Soldier Field, like on the field with his family.
Like his last game or whatever.
Yeah, so like I think that I don't know if they will or not. I feel like everybody's going to wait to sign a running back to see what the market looks like.
Sure.
Because, you know, the logic is you don't pay up for a running back, right?
Can you imagine Justin Fields and Saquon Barkley on the same team? I mean, the Bears of all the teams have the most money this year to spend on shit.
I don't think Saquon stays in New York. I think he goes somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. He's going to go somewhere else.
All right. What about, Ryan, Josh Jacobs? Where is Josh Jacobs going?
Dude, that guy's going to want so much money after the year he had this year. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know. I mean, I could say the Bears again, because once again, like I said, they have the most money to spend on free agents this year. But I don't think he's going to become a Bear. I don't know. And I guess we could see what happens in Dallas, too, with Pollard and Elliott. Maybe Dallas would be a good place for him, but...
I don't have a great beat on Josh Jacobs and where and what he's going to command, because like, dude, he produces. He just produces. It's just what he does.
Right. Yeah.
But like, he's not the flashiest guy in the league. So I feel like he gets underrated by everybody because he's not the best at any one thing. He's just top three in everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could see a Josh Jacobs going. Actually, I could see him going to a place like a Buffalo or a Tampa Bay, depending on if Lenny keeps playing. Buffalo
going to get rid of.
I mean, Devin Singletary sucks ass.
That's true. I mean, they've got plenty of future prospects in James Cook. You're going to develop him for sure.
But you're also not going to ask James Cook to carry the ball 20 times a game.
No.
You no, don't think man.
He could ever be that guy?
No, I don't think he can. But, I mean, he's explosive, but I don't think he's not that dude.
He's always going to be the...
He's going to be a committee guy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Ryan. David Montgomery.
He's going somewhere. I have no idea who's going to want him, though, honestly.
I think he stays. I'm going to say that right now. I think he stays in Chicago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So Montgomery is what? Fourth, fifth year player?
Fourth.
So
of these guys were in the same draft class.
So this is his contract year. So if the Bears wanted to be good, they could pay him a lot of money to stay.
But you don't want to overpay for running backs, you know?
True. Especially when your quarterback rushes for more yards than your running backs do.
You know where I think would be a really good place for David Montgomery is New England.
I was just going to say the Patriots, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a great fit for that scheme. Depending on who they decide to be their offensive guy next year, I think he could be a really great fit.
Yeah, especially because, yeah, Belichick's going to be back. I think he pretty much said he's coaching next year, so.
I have two more, and then we're done. Tony Pollard.
Dude, that guy's going to get paid by someone.
Yep.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't mind the Giants as a fit.
That's right. Yeah, if they ditch Barkley, yeah, they're going to need to reach for someone.
I actually also, a place I really think Pollard would do well in is Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, because, well, is Patterson done probably? Or?
Well, I mean, Patterson's usage is inconsistent, right? And I think that his skills are best utilized as a jack-of-all-trades guy, especially as he gets older.
A 1-2 punch with him and Algier would be pretty interesting.
And especially if you could line Cordero up in the slot, send him in motion, I think that offense has so many toys, you know?
I just really hope that Atlanta gets something. Either they develop Ridder or they pick up someone that's... Because, man, Drake London, too. Another guy just like Olave this year had a bunch of targets. But he was catching passes from frickin' Mariota.
Right.
His potential is so good. I just, you know...
He wasn't catching passes from Mariota. He was preventing Marcus Mariota passes from falling incomplete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think... and London had somewhere in the realm of, like, Olave's. I think he had, like, 117, maybe, targets.
Yeah.
So he, you know... Imagine if he was playing with a freaking bomb quarterback, you know?
One more. Miles Sanders.
Where's he? He's been around longer than 4 or 5 years, hasn't he?
No, all of these guys were drafted the same year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all ending the fourth year of their deals.
Yeah, so they're looking to get paid.
And they won't get huge contracts, but like relatively to other positions. But
maybe I think
all of these guys should get starting running back money.
Maybe he goes to like Denver.
Oh, I like that.
With Javonte. Denver, yeah, Denver needs a running back, especially the injury risk of Javonte. Javonte should be good for the start of the year, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I think Denver might be a good place, but Denver's got to figure out a lot of shit, especially with how bad Russell Wilson was this year.
Sure. I also like Buffalo as a fit for Miles Sanders, doing what Devin Singletary does.
Yeah, sure.
I could also see, actually, any of these guys. We're talking Barkley, Jacobs, Montgomery, Pollard, or Sanders. I think any of these guys would fucking crush in Miami next year.
Oh, yeah, Miami's going to need some support. Yeah, that's right.
I think
also any one of these guys could end up as a Bear if they get rid of Montgomery.
Oh, yeah, and I think, like, the Bears and the Dolphins, I think, are the spots that I like best. I like the Raiders a lot, and if Atlanta chooses to add another guy, I like that one, too. I think those are all great landing spots. That Giants offense, too, is pretty juicy. Right. So, thank you for indulging us with our theories. We're getting close to an hour, man. We're starting to get pretty wild with our episode length. So that was 67.
Yeah, hell yeah. Episode 67. It was a good episode.
That was a damn fine episode, if I must say so myself.
And if I must say, the Jaguars are still in the playoffs.
That's, man, my God.
I did put a dollar today on the sportsbook. I went in and put a dollar on them to win the Super Bowl, plus $3,300.
That's crazy. That was an absolutely incredible weekend of games last week.
Yeah, that was, yeah. I don't know if we're ever going to see a better weekend in a while, 5, 10 years, but those are some wild games, really close outside of the Frisco game. But
yeah, to have, well, and the Tampa Bay Dallas game, but to have, but to have hits in 3 out of 5 games like that. Just outstanding stuff, NFL. Great job.
Yeah.
So hopefully the divisional round is great. Who do you got, Ryan? What 4 teams are we going to see playing next week?
Well, I don't know if I said this last weekend, but I do have Buffalo and Philly in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously taking Buffalo and Philly. You know what? I'm going to be bold here. I'm going to be super bold, and I'm going to say the Jags beat Kansas City.
Whoa.
Damn. Okay. I said it. You heard it here first.
There it is, dude. I'm not laughing at all. Didn't laugh. Not one time. Yeah.
I think Dallas actually has a chance to beat Frisco.
You're nuts. I will laugh at you for that.
like I said, Purdy hasn't played a good defense yet. And I think this may be the game where he implodes.
I think that'll happen against Philly personally.
Okay.
So my final four, I expect next week's game to be San Francisco at Philadelphia, and I expect it to be Kansas City and Cincinnati.
What? Cincinnati beat Buffalo?
Cincinnati over Buffalo, man. You heard it here.
They got they got like their two of their starting line offensive linemen out. Like Burrow's gonna get sacked like 12 times.
Dude, playoff Joe Burrow is a different animal.
Oh, I know. I know. He got sacked like 9 times last year and when he won the AFC. Yeah, it didn't matter, but I think that's gonna change this year, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right. So that's where we're at, and that's the goodest place as any to end episode 67.
Hell yeah.
I think we've given you the takes, the hot takes that you desire, the fuel, the fire, the takes that you desire. So until next week, which we'll have, we'll be down to our final four and start talking Super Bowl stuff and maybe even some rookie stuff.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Great job.
Yeah, we did it. We did a really good thing today. It's like giving to charity, you know? All right, well, enjoy the games, everybody. We only have a couple more weeks left of football, so enjoy it while it's here.
Hell yeah.
And we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Jags beat Kansas City.